Thank you for that introduction. My talk will be on base temperatures and growing degree day models. So growing degree day are used to describe the amount of heat energy received by a plant over a given time period. Typically, the higher the temperature for that given day, the more accumulated growing degree days you'll have. Growing degree days are used extensively in agriculture to predict plant processes, such as how many days growing degree days until flowering or how many growing degree days until maturity. Using your growing degree day model, a turf manager can more appropriately time pesticide and growth regulator applications based on when the plant needs them as opposed to just a given day of the week. So how to calculate growing degree days? You find the average of the daily temperature by adding the max temperature and the min temperature for the day and dividing by 2, and then subtracting a base temperature. Base temperature is defined as the temperature at which a plant species becomes physiologically inactive. Base temperatures can vary between species and even cultivars. Some previous research using growing degree days, Dr. Brosnan used growing degree days to schedule post-emergent herbicide applications. To calculate his growing degree days, he used base temperature 10 for tall fescue. Dr. McCullough used growing degree days to predict seed head formation for various turf grass species. He used zoysia grass, Bermuda grass, and Seashore paspalum, also using base temperature 10. So the importance of a base temperature and using a correct base temperature is if you find, assuming that every day has the exact same temperature, say a high temperature of 26 with a low temperature of 16, averaged as an average temperature of 21 degrees Celsius, using base temperature 10, that gives us 11 growing degree days per day. Therefore, if you're trying to accumulate 400 growing degree days, it'll take 36 calendar days to reach that level. However, assuming the same temperature conditions, using base temperature 12, that gives us 9 growing degree days per day. Trying to accumulate 400 growing degree days total, that'll take 44 calendar days. Therefore, if you're scheduling a pesticide application or growth regulator application using growing degree days and use a wrong base temperature, your timing can be off by over a week. Dr. Unruh conducted a study to determine base temperatures of various warm season grasses. He used 8 different species and found that base temperatures range from 1.2 degrees centigrade to 12.3 degrees. However, this study was conducted in growth chambers where light acted as a limiting factor at 400 micromoles meter squared per second of light per day. In the southeast United States, we can get as much as 2,000 micromoles per day. And his study only included warm season turf grass species. So the objective of my study was to determine the base temperature of warm and cool season turf grass species and cultivars. For my materials and methods, I used the SPAR units at Mississippi State University, standing for Soil Plant Atmosphere Research Units. These units are composed of a still soil bin here, where the plants can be planted directly into the soil bin or can be placed in pots and grown in there. A plexiglass chamber that transmits 95% solar radiation, and an air handling unit in the back here. These units are used to simulate all aspects of an environment, such as temperature, UVB exposure, soil moisture, and CO2 concentration. This diagram shows how the air flows in the unit. The fan located in the heating or cooling system in the back is connected to the heating or cooling system, which blows hot or cool air into the plexiglass chamber, where the shape of the chamber allows the air to circulate down and through the plant canopy, simulating a natural breeze. All of these SPAR units are controlled from this room located inside the Environmental Plant Physiology Laboratory. All of the data comes in and out at this acquisition panel here and is connected and controlled at the computer system here. For more information on SPAR units and how they work, please come to the poster session tomorrow night and see my poster on this. So out of the 10 units, 5 units were designated for cool season grasses and 5 were designated for warm season grasses. I used 5 different grasses of each cool season and warm season. The 5 grasses I used, cool season grasses I used, included Fiesta 4 perennial ryegrass, Falcon 5 tall fescue, Midnight Kentucky bluegrass, and Penn Cross and Penn A1 A4 creeping bentgrass. My warm season grasses include Meyer Zoysia and 4 types of hybrid Bermudas, including MSB 285, Tiff Eagle, Tiff Way, and Latitude 36. Each of the 10 units were set at a different temperature regime, day-night temperature regime. The 1810 temperature regime in the cool season units was the lowest that the spar units were able to maintain during the month of May. I used different mowing heights to best simulate how each of these grasses would be grown in a field setting. Penn A1, A4, Penn Cross, and Tiff Eagle were mowed at 1.3 centimeters. Latitude 36, Tiff Way, and MSB 285 was mowed at 1.9 centimeters. Fiesta 4 and Midnight was mowed at 2.5 centimeters, and Falcon 5 and Meyer were maintained at 3.8 centimeters. The dates of my trial ran from April 24th to May 15th of this year. Fertility and soil moisture was maintained at optimum via drip irrigation with half-strength Hoagland's nutrient solution 3 times per day. Each of the grass samples were grown in a lysimeter measuring 10 centimeters in diameter and 41 centimeters deep, and we used a 75% sand, 25% native topsoil mix for our soil. Clipping yield was collected every 3 days using scissors and a PVC guard cut to a desired height. The clipping yield is the main data that we used to predict our base temperatures in this trial. We also took chlorophyll index weekly using a handheld reflectance meter, and rooting and tissue nutrient content was collected at the conclusion of the trial. For my experimental design, it was a completely randomized design. Five of the units were designated for the cool season grasses, 5 were designated for the warm season grasses. Each of the grasses used were replicated 6 times within each temperature regime for a total of 30 lysimeters randomized in each unit. We used quadratic regression to relate clipping yield to temperature and used the program sigma plot for our least squares regression. For our cool season results, each of these graphs are set up where clipping yield is on the y-axis and temperature is on the x-axis. Each of the points on the graph represents a mean of the 36 total data points used for each temperature. Using quadratic regression, we were able to predict where clipping yield would equal 0 and the temperature for that. By using quadratic regression, we were also able to determine an optimal temperature for each grass. So for Penn A1, A4, we found a base temperature of negative 2.23 degrees Celsius and an optimum temperature of 18.75. For Penn Cross, we found negative 0.44 degrees Celsius with an optimum temperature of 20.07. Midnight Kentucky Bluegrass, we found base temperature be 4.69 with optimum temperature 19.04. Fiesta 4 Perennial Ryegrass, we found base temperature to be 3.81 with optimum temperature 19.38. And Falcon 5 Tall Fescue base temperature is 4.25 with optimum temperature 20.62. So for my warm season results, we are unable to determine the base temperature for Meyer Zoysia grass due to the poor performance and lack of growth of the grass samples we used during the experiment. But for my 4 Bermuda grasses, graphs are set up the same way as the cool season with clipping yield on the Y, temperature on the X axis. Using quadratic regression, we found where clipping yield would equal 0, and we also found the optimum temperature for each grass. So for latitude 36, our base temperature is 13.21 with optimum temperature 36.07. MSB 285's base temperature is 12.51 with optimum temperature 49.83. Tiffway was found to be 12.67 base temperature with optimum temperature 32.06. And Tiff Eagle base temperature 12.58 with optimum temperature 31.79. So in conclusion, using these base temperatures to calculate growing degree days can more accurately represent a total accumulated growing degree days for pesticide or growth regulator or any kind of other prediction using growing degree days. Accurately calculating growing degree days can be the difference between a timely application and a mistimed application. Future research, we can apply the newly found base temperatures to create a growing degree day model for pesticide and growth regulator application. We can also investigate other factors such as rainfall and irrigation, fertility, light, and how they affect growing degree day models. And of course, we can also find the base temperature for other turf grass species and cultivars. References, and I would like to acknowledge the USGA for funding this project. I would also like to thank David Brand and everyone that helped me collect data throughout the study, and also Will Holroyd and Dr. Karcher for the grass samples. This was a big project, and it took a lot of people to put it together. So with that, are there any questions? Yes. So the question is, do we measure soil temperature, and did that? Is there a chance that that would affect our base temperatures? We can't control it. There are ways to monitor it. For this study, we did not monitor the soil temperatures, but with the SPAR units designed to prevent microclimates, we can assume that the aerial temperature and the soil temperature were very similar. Yes. Yes. Correct.
Are you going to validate those that extrapolated prediction with actual temperatures that you predicted, like in a growth chamber or something?
So the question is, are we going to validate the extrapolation for the base temperatures we found? That could be an area for future research, is to prove that that's the base temperature. The reason that we did not have our temperatures go that low to begin with is because we wanted to be able to collect data, and if grass is growing at the base temperature, then there was no data to be collected because the grass would not be growing. Yeah, so the question is, the quadratic regression was found to be the best way. And yes, we also tried to run it linearly and a couple of other ways. Yeah. And we found that most of the data points fit quadratically the best.
Thank
yes.
You.
Thank you. Yes.
I might have missed it, but how did you start at what temperature? Did you start at the ambient? Did you decrease the temperatures in the spar? Or how did you run the series? And would the same experiment over?
I'm sorry, you're going to have to repeat that.
So you have this SPAR unit and you have the different temperatures.
Correct.
What temperature did you start at? Did you decrease them first? Decrease them second? How did that work?
Okay, so the question is regarding our temperature regimes. And we put the grasses in the units and grew them for 2 weeks at our middle temperature range. And then after we collected clippings twice to get a standard, we then dropped each temperature at one, all of the temperatures at once, or raised all the temperatures. So each unit was set at a different temperature regime. Does that answer your question?
So a SPAR itself wasn't repeated, the SPAR itself.
No. We had 6 replications of each grass within each SPAR unit, and each SPAR unit acted as the treatment because each SPAR unit was a different temperature.
Okay, if there aren't any further questions, let's take a break. We're going to start right again at 9:45.